show clock work?
I think it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. It's working.
It's working.
Yeah.
Freedom feels.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom
Tigger warning.
Tigger warning.
Broadcasting from Hot Bay, Sit and Stay, near feet above sea level at Intergalactic Canine Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch your cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean? Diana Kyler,
yeah.
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Yeah, I'm feeling the right. my leash released.
as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except for who?
Governments.
Yep, that's right. Find out more at BIPCOT.org. That sounds lovely.
That was, yeah.
That's my life, awesome. Man. That's my life. I usually mute it, but, you know, I'm sharing it. Share the love. Okay. MWD hashtag colon.
Yeah. Well, it is a teaching hospice, so we might as well let all that fly. Let the mucus hospice fly, Michael. Let it fly.
So, what do you think of Bernie Sanders?
His feet stink for sure, and he's a socialist.
He smells like tinkle. He smells like tinkle.
Yes, he does.
It smells like tinkle.
Mothballs and tinkle.
Oh
yeah. Mothballs, man. Old people.
He's so old. He probably camphor oil too. Wasn't that something they used back in the day?
Camphor oil. Leeches and yeah. What does Grandpa Simpson want to give Bart when Bart's sick? Something horrible. Oh.
Yeah,
castor oil.
Castor oil or is there syrup of Ipecac or one of those.
Yeah, Ipecac.
Yeah, there you go.
I've had that when I ate poisonous mushrooms. It makes you throw up. Actually, when I was 15, got some Ipecac too, and like, I was making movies when I was like 15 with Super 8 cameras, which like cost money. You had to buy film, and it was like 4 minutes of film per cartridge, and there was no audio, and you had like go to the drugstore and develop it and wait a week and get it back and project it. And I used to make little movies with my friends in high school. And in one of them, I was playing a piano and then just leaned over and threw up. And the way we did it was I drank Ipecac and then did jumping jacks until I felt I was going to throw up. And then I started playing the piano and they started filming me for like 20 seconds. And then I threw up.
Awesome.
Art, man. That was art. It was practice for later when Tony Fagg from the drummer from Bomb, the closet heterosexual Tony Fagg. His real name is Tony Anthony Michael Short. He changed his name to Tony Fagg because he's to pee off his dad. He was teed off at his dad. So, but that's, you know, that's him playing drums on that intro tune. He's a pretty bad A drummer. But he and I played CBGBs. We played CBGBs a couple times with Bomb. And one time he was playing this really complex beat, this song called Vagrant Vampires, if you know the band Bomb. It's the one that goes, the beat's like, booga digga, booga digga, booga digga, booga digga, booga digga. And that's why we called our record company for our first record, Booga Digga Records. Yeah, and it was like, nice. Basically he was playing double bass on a single bass kit using the bass and the tom-tom. That was he invented that.
Cool.
And like other bands do that now. Like, you know, Queens of the Stone Age do that. They're influenced by Tony. Like,
nice.
Other bands definitely. Nine Inch Nails have done it. A few other bands have done it. And we're playing, you know, CBGBs, and he just did bugga digga, bugga digga, bugga digga, bugga.
You actually played CBGBs? I'm so impressed. Have you seen the movie with Alan Rickman?
So I'm talking about reality. I'm not talking about a movie, Diana. But yeah, I've seen the movie.
The movie was awesome.
It's the last movie he did before he died. But but during, like, Tony was playing this hard to play beat. And like we just shot a bunch of heroin in the basement, down in that dirty, filthy basement. And Tony just leaned over during the first song and threw up while playing drums without skipping a beat. It was so punk rock.
Wow.
It was cool.
That is punk rock.
I was like, I looked at him and I was like, I love my band. Yeah. He and I don't get along. I don't talk to him anymore. But, you know, I really admired him at that moment, put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's pretty
awesome. I was younger. He was a couple years older than me, and he was like way more bad A, like way more city boy. Like, I'd grown up in the country. I moved out to San Francisco. He'd grown up in San Francisco. Like, you know, I was the kid that would like get mugged walking down the street, and he was the guy that would like talk the muggers out of mugging him, kind of thing. And yeah,
please really, don't mug me, please.
No, he'd just be like, dude, you don't want to do that. Get away from me, man. Go on, you know. Here, let's go get some heroin, mugger. I'll get you some. Yeah, but yeah, I looked up to him. But I was kind of like Beaver Cleaver to his Eddie Haskell, you know. So did you guys get the email I sent you? Look at the sig line. Somehow, go ahead.
I was going to say, somehow picturing you as the Beave does not really fit.
Okay, I was the older brother. Oh, yeah. Beave's brother.
That's like sent from my...
what's my sig line on my new chrome robot turret?
Sent from my chrome robot turret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
That is beautiful.
I didn't like the default. So I got my wife and I entered the millennium today and traded our like hockey puck old 7-year-old cell phones that like literally were just cell phones for some we got smartphones. We got LG G Vista 2s with octa-core processors.
Octa-core.
Yeah, and my wife is just tickled. She's just like, "Oh my god." Like, I thought I was going to have to explain everything to her, but no, it's like she's really smart and Android's really intuitive. See, I've had an Android device for a while about now, but it's not a phone. It's just a little $60 handheld computer piece of crap that I just got basically so I could like, you know, test the Fiendphone app. But yeah, man, this thing even runs Cell 411. Do you guys know about Cell 411?
Yeah, I have that.
Yep.
Yeah, I have it on my phone, but there are no cells in my area.
Yeah, so. I don't know anybody.
I could create them, but
nothing is set up yet for in my neighborhood either. But I'm gonna.
I don't know anybody except my wife.
I'm gonna try. Well, because I did the same thing last year when what was it? Peacekeeper was the first version.
Oh yeah, Peacekeeper.
That wasn't the first version. It was
it was a different company. It was the first
buggy, like well-intentioned, almost vaporware.
Well, no, but I'm saying it was the first iteration of products like this.
Like everyone should go to the Google Play Store or the what's the iPhone thing called?
It's app. It's the App Store.
Oh yes, apparently. Yeah. App Store. Yelled about that. It's not called the iStore. Apparently.
Yeah. It's called the Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs made jail cool.
Everything else has an I in front of it. Why am I wrong for assuming that? It's I everything else. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
iTunes, iPhone, iPod, iPad.
IP.
IP. Intellectual property.
FIP.
IPP.
FIP. IPP.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's weird having the internet with you all the time. It's cool.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. It's kind of like it is very much distracting. I kind of got in trouble at work today.
I'm surprised that like young people even talk to each other. You know,
they
before
don't.
I got this,
they don't.
I know. Well, I was like, you know, I'd see like movies, and there'd be like 20 people in a room, all looking at their phones, not talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. And I'm they're like, texting each other.
Yeah, they're hooking up. They're using Grindr.
No.
I don't think that's how it works.
Is that the gay one?
That's the gay one. Tinder.
What's the non-gay one?
Tinder. Tinder. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what's the one for fights that doesn't really exist but it's funny?
Rumbler.
Rumbler.
Rumbler app.
I think. Yeah. That's my favorite. Somebody needs.
I thought it was real, and I really wanted to set up a profile on there of a picture of me like after I fell on my face and broke my nose when I passed out when I had two black eyes and a broken nose and looked like a raccoon. I wanted to do a picture of me like that with my oxygen tube in my nose with my fists up like, come on, MFs.
You looked very BA in that picture.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like you just, you know, went to Fight Club or something.
I did. Exactly. I put on some weight, but I looked like scarier than when I was like a skinny junkie in that picture. I looked like everyone saw that picture and like thought I got beat up by the cops or something.
Yeah. Yeah, nope, you look like you could do some damage. Up.
No, yeah. I'm it's my like, own worst
it's
enemy.
It's interesting how people, if they look beaten up, they look like they could beat you up.
I know. And it's funny, like in all my years of like drinking and drugging and doing heroin, I never hurt myself to the point where my face looked like that, or I never got in a fight to where, like, that's the worst I ever looked in my life.
I got beaten up that bad in the eighth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, did someone go to jail?
No.
Well, you should have had the cell 411 app, because one of the things you can set up is I'm being bullied.
Yeah, my friend just kind of stood there while it all happened. I was just like, thanks.
Aww. Now she would have been filming with her. Now she would have been filming with her chromed robot turd.
Right. I know she would have been.
I had that happen once.
Putting it on Rumbler.
Yeah.
I had a friend.
I'll tell you what, that never, ever, ever happened again after that. All it took was that one time, and yeah. Nobody messed with me after that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this today in my life, I've only ever once threatened somebody. And you probably shouldn't even admit, like, you know, publicly that you threatened somebody 20 years, 30 years ago, no, 40 years ago now, because they'll, like, you know, put you in a mental hospital or something. But here's what it was. I was talking to my wife about, like,
statute,
you know,
of limitations,
like bullying now. Oh, by the way, Jim Jesus said something wrong on the show last night. He said there's statutes of limitations are only for misdemeanors, not felonies. That's not true.
No, that's not true.
Most,
yeah.
Murder is the felony that never has a statute of limitations in most jurisdictions. But a lot of felonies have
all the other ones
statutes of limitations. Most of the other
seven,
ones. Yeah,
seven, but, 10, 15 years, something like
yeah,
that.
That's yeah.
25, I
but,
think.
But so, yeah, so James said that. But so the only time I ever threatened anybody was, and my wife and I were talking about bullying, like, you know, what passes for bullying now. Like, bullying's
right,
a real
right.
thing, but
yeah.
it's also like, you know, like if you, like, hurting someone's feelings is considered bullying now.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
or
Stupid.
Even, and if you teach your kids to fight, Tigger alert.
Tigger warning.
That's the
Tigger warning.
I have a pick
for you.
Send me it.
Okay.
So I went to this school where my dad lived. My parents got divorced for like 3 months. I went to a different public school before I got shipped off to the church farm school in Pennsylvania. And and like I was getting bullied. Like they were like, you know, the big dumb jock kids were like,
oh yeah,
you know,
when you're always the new kid, it happens.
Yeah, they wanted to mess me up, and they were like, they didn't hit me or anything, but they were threatening, like every, like, we're gonna get you out of school, we're gonna get you out of school, and.
Mm-hmm.
I tried something I've never done with censor before.
High.
I didn't yell at him. I didn't tell a teacher. I went up to the biggest one, who was like almost a foot taller than me, got up on my tippy toes and like got like an inch away from his ear. And I said, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill your whole family. And they just walked away.
Wow.
And the next morning I came into school and like, immediately was called to the principal's office. The bullies were like, he's
crazy.
Yeah. But they never mess with me again, man. And if you get quiet and reptilian, it's more effective than screaming at somebody.
Yeah, like Tuco.
Like Tuco.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Awesome.
James
Madison
is the bomb.
He made a show clock.
Pizzabomb.com.
Here, I'm going to just share the show clock since it works. Y'all agree it works?
Oh, yeah.
It's working perfectly for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
Although, you know what? It's not going to work for people listening on streaming. It'll work for people on radio because the delay of what we say to it being in people's ears on radio, it's like less than 2 seconds. It's more like a second.
Mm-hmm.
But streaming, like LRN, has to buffer. So it's like it's late for between between 5 and 40, depends.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
On the network congestion and the computer.
Yeah, have they been having issues? Because I tried to listen to the show last night, and it just kept cutting out on me.
I don't know. You should listen to the Fiendphone app instead and listen. Not instead. You can listen to the LRN through there.
That's what I said. I thought the live feed played directly from LRN on the Fiend app. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
so I'm not blaming the Fiend map. I'm blaming LRN.
When LRN's down though, you can listen on GCN because.
I know that. Yeah, no.
The Fiends. The LRN takes the Fiends from the GCN streaming, although they take the LRN takes the Free Talk Live directly from Free Talk Live because it's in the same studio.
Okay, so is it better to listen via GCN if you're going to stream?
Well, you know, in respect to my robot overlords, I'd probably have to say yes, of course, use the GCN. Well, the ads are different. I'll just say that the ads are different. The ads on LRN are more anarcho-capitalist, and the ads on GCN, love them, God bless them, thanks for putting us in the air, are more constitutionalist. So, depends what flavor you like.
Yeah, okay.
I would say, yeah.
I have my personal preferences.
Yeah, so we're talking about, chromed robot turds. I got one. I'm amazed. I can't believe like that people actually talk to each other anymore when they have these devices in their pocket that are more powerful than like what put a man on the moon with in 69 when I was 5 years old.
That blows my mind. When I think about it, it blows my mind every time. Wow.
And these are like $400 and like, you know, that was the price of like one bolt on the ship that went to the moon.
Yeah, right. Well, people don't talk to each other anymore. That's the problem. I mean, you can see that the fact that the
some would say it's not a problem.
Well,
it's good. I like
actually, I'd probably be one of those people because I don't usually. Other than you guys, I usually don't like to
you
talk
Luddite.
To people, so.
You just like
no, I just don't like to talk to people. I'm anti. So other than you guys, I don't like to talk to people. I'm kind of
you know what you hang out with dogs a lot, right?
Yeah, I spend most of my day alone with dogs. Yeah. So
you know what? Yeah. Did you ever hear? I think it was either I think it was Bukowski maybe who said the more I deal with people, the more I like my dog.
Yep. Yeah. I think that was his. I love that line.
I'll look it up.
Well, I used to say all the time, you know, because growing up, both my parents were teachers, and I always assumed that I would become a teacher too. And then as I got older, my reoccurring line was, I was going to be a teacher until I realized that kids talk back and animals don't. So I changed direction. Yeah. And that's how I ended up where I did.
I really liked what our former co-host, who I wish would come back, the Greens, Katie Green said of children, I don't like children. They're sticky and they ask too many questions.
Yeah.
They're even sticky and they ask me too many questions.
As a father of two toddlers, I approve that message.
Yes, Bip Tots. They're licensed with the Bip Tot license.
Yeah, and I heard James talking. Was that last night? James was
he doesn't want a license.
He won't. See now,
by others.
Sorry, it wasn't Bukowski. It was Mark Twain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
makes sense. Better. Yeah, I don't think Bukowski had the kind of life where he could have a dog. Actually,
he probably wouldn't have been able to take very good care of it.
Yeah, he smacked women around too. I don't know how he would have been with a dog.
Yeah.
For International Women's Day, let's talk about how Bukowski was a wife beater.
Oh my gosh, all the stuff on Facebook about that just makes me laugh.
Is that today? Well,
yeah.
You know, that Google Doodle for International Women's Day is crashing my browser. And Google Doodles have never crashed my browser.
Oh.
And I posted that it's crashing my browser and said, "Thanks, women." And then Lou said, it was supposed to be yesterday, but they couldn't get ready in time.
Oh, that's funny.
Feminist conspiracy with Google.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I did not. I was on social media most of the day. I don't know how I missed that. I guess I just blocked it out.
You know, this phone comes with a stylus. It's kind of old school.
I didn't say stylist, I said stylist.
You said a stylist. It comes with a little gay man who, just because I'm a woman,
my mind is always on beauty stuff and jewelry and stylists.
Yes. Stylist.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Yours off?
They're back.
Yeah, mine was off. Mine had negative seconds remaining, yep, and then all of a sudden it started counting down. Yeah.
It's
weird.
I wasn't looking at mine, but mine went to on air at the right time.
Yeah, mine did too.
Well, mine did too.
That's all that matters.
Oh, okay. So there's an error there, huh?
There's James, a bug. There's a bug, James. If you're listening,
James
bug.
James, where
fix
are you?
Fix the bug.
You know about that?
Fix the bug.
That's what we call him, James Blab. James Blab. Because he's a talk show.
That's awesome. Host.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's the government time or something. Maybe that's what's wrong.
No, well, government time's perfect.
They're on to us. They know we're using it. So
that's the only thing the government does well. Is like
time.
Stalin
keep
made the trains run on time. You know? Yeah. The time.
This is true.
Well, you know what they say? The only thing true in the newspaper is the date.
Possibly the obituaries.
We were arguing about who
not
lives
necessarily.
In the whiter. We're arguing about who lives in a whiter town. During the boy, that sounds wrong.
I know it kind of does. It almost is like, well,
we're not racist.
You know,
but,
okay. Can we say where each of you live? I live in Casper, Wyoming.
I have no problem.
Okay, you're in Levittown. New York.
Levittown, New York.
Yeah, you're 82 feet above sea level. Diana and I are a mile above sea level.
Just a little bit of difference.
Where are you, Diana?
Colorado Springs.
Okay. Man, I'm winning this white contest, hands down.
You probably are, yeah. I mean, because there is some diversity here. Not nearly what it was in North Carolina, though. Or what it probably still is. Just because I'm not North Carolina anymore doesn't mean it's not still diverse. I didn't mean to make it sound like that.
Levittown's pretty close, man. Oh, Levittown has me beat. You're 94.15% white.
Oh,
Casper, Wyoming is 92.3% white.
See?
And Colorado Springs is 78% white.
Okay, cool. There's a fairly large Hispanic population here.
Well, that actually
is. Oh, and also Indian, Native American, too.
There's a lot of Indians in my town.
Indians, yeah. Yeah,
that explains a lot, though. That's why it's been nicknamed Levitt Trash. I guess that was supposed to be a takeoff on White Trash. Now that makes a whole lot more sense to me. Well, I moved here originally just because I was looking for a place to go, and I found
for
a place
religious freedom.
For canine freedom. It was hard to find a place that would take my dog. So
Bill O'Reilly's from your
that's
town.
That's weird.
He likes white people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. I don't know. Some white people like him. I don't know too many.
I don't like him.
It's funny.
I actually used to like him a long time ago, but not anymore. That's for
I
sure.
never.
Ew.
Hanking down on white people. I got nothing wrong about I'm not a pro whitey, and I certainly am not making videos apologizing for my white privilege and male privilege. There's people that do that. I even want to smack them.
Yes, I want to smack them too.
I think of race more like, you know, the colors of my cats kind of thing. It's interesting, but what I really think about race is how other people think of my race. Like, I gotta say, I like living in a town where I don't get mad dogged for being white. In Southern California and in San Francisco, when I lived in bad neighborhoods in San Francisco and anywhere I lived in Southern California, I would occasionally or frequently get mad dogged for being white. Like, even in my own neighborhood, it was uncomfortable.
That happened to me when I lived in Arkansas when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was actually discriminated against for being white.
A kid.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
a kid. How old were you?
Like 9.
like you have any sense of, you know,
that was my first experience with what is known as reverse racism, basically.
Yeah, it's racism. Yeah.
It's such a ridiculous term, reverse racism.
I know it is. What is known as.
No, I know.
They were talking on the show last night about some judge who'd said that children as young as 3 and 4 can represent themselves in immigration court.
That's crazy.
I read that story. That
and I was insane. Thinking about that, and I was like, 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds, aren't even really sure who they are or where they are.
No, I know, yeah.
Literally, like where they are. Like when I was, you know, when I was 6 or 7, like I didn't even have a concept of geography outside of not even the whole block I lived in, but like our side, our face of one side of a block, you know?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we get in the car and go places, but it's like, yeah. And, you know, since I didn't drive until I was like 18 and moved out of New York State, like I didn't even really know like what 2 towns over was, you know, like we'd go from Westfield to Sherman, New York to visit my aunt and grandma. And I thought we were in a different county. No, those 2 towns border each other, you know? And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know otherwise until I was 18, you know?
It's a much different experience when you're the one behind the wheel. I know how that is because I've, you know, there's places that somebody's driven me like, you know, 10 times before. And I actually need to figure out directions before I drive there myself. Because
you don't pay attention. Being driven somewhere is like, it's like watching a movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my wife loves to drive. I don't like to drive, and she has no like need to be in control except when she's in a car, and I'm fine with it because I consider driving a task, and I'm like, if you want to jump to do the task, so I don't have to, I'm fine with it.
See, I love driving.
DJ's awesome.
Yeah, she is.
I kind of have to like it, otherwise I'd go totally insane because I spend half my day walking dogs, the other half driving, so I have to like it at least
a little bit. My dad lost his license. He's like 94 and lost his license.
In a voting accident?
They wouldn't give it
basically.
To him.
Oh, they wouldn't give it back to him?
Yeah.
He went to renew? Or he got in trouble.
He had some, like, he didn't get in an accident, but he almost did. Like, he drove down a one-way street and then, like, you know,
that's some BS.
Came really close to some construction workers going 20 miles an hour.
What?
Cop saw him.
I have a story about construction workers, but keep going.
No, I'm done. He's just really bummed out. Like, I remember when I was, 10, you know, when he was 53. Yeah, my parents were 40 and 43 when I was born. I was a happy accident.
Wow.
I had a brother in college and 2 sisters in high school when I was born. But it's cool. They were nice to me.
No.
Yeah. But
is he still capable? If he didn't, is he perfectly like he doesn't normally have problems or anything like that?
I don't know, man. He's 94.
Well, no, I know.
Yeah.
I've known 74-year-olds that are gone, and I know 94-year-olds that are sharp as a tack.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't know.
He's pretty sharp for 94, but someone that comes in once a week and helps him with stuff, and
because he's by himself. I wish I had somebody coming in once a week to help.
Well,
him with
my sister, my sister comes in once in a while, but you know, yeah, I wish I did too.
We have DJ.
Well, no, but DJ like works full time and more than 45 hours a week in an office. And I used to do all the house cleaning, but I can't really do that much now because I'm sick and like dust makes me sick and. Effort makes me sick, but I'm getting better slowly. Like today,
I sound a lot better.
Yeah, like today I had to get to cancel our existing landline and
you were talking about what a pain that was.
Oh, it was
like
a big
canceling.
Pain.
Yeah,
but I had to we had to give them our security code so they'd know it was us when we called, and we didn't have it. We never set one up, so we had to give like the number the back of the modem. So I had to get down in the dust behind the computer desk, and And I was so grossed out by the dust that's collected since in the year plus I've been sick that today I took this little dustbuster vacuum we have and I put on like a face mask.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then like some gun ears for to cover my ears from the noise. And I put on my oxygen hose and like got down on my knees and just barreled through sucking it all up in like 2 minutes and then coughed for like a half hour.
Oh, man. God.
But I had to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone if there's anyone in the Casper area who wants to have some do some non-sexual kink sexual slavery doing
non-sexual kink.
Yeah. There's people that do that, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are. Yeah. There's people that'll do just about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Preferably female, but you know, I'll talk about one. See what she thinks.
Yeah, I guess there's probably some people that get off on cleaning. I'm definitely not one of those people.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy doing my own cleaning when I could, but I would never get off on it. I wouldn't say I got off on it.
I was going to say, I wouldn't say I get off on it either, but it depends. Certain moods, especially maybe if I've had some, like, you know, herbal relaxation, I get in a mood sometimes. No, not speed. Usually
cannabis. How many speed freaks does it take to clean an apartment?
Well, yeah. See, surprisingly, though, one and a quarter?
A quarter of speed, quarter gram of speed.
Oh, okay, one and a quarter. Got it.
If you have to ask, you'll never know.
Yeah, I got it. Never mind. I've actually gotten into mode just, you know, smoking some cannabis, and if it's late at night, all of a sudden I wake up and I'm like
smoking cannabis.
I see some dirt there, and I'll start cleaning, and then 2 hours later, I'm like, you know, sweating.
Oh yeah, sativa's good for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So I go through, you know, that's when I get my best cleaning done. Usually 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what that is.
Sativa is kind of the speed of cannabis.
Do you know what salvia is? Is that what it's called?
Salvia.
There's some weird herbal drug.
Yeah.
I think it's called salvia. And there's all these videos on YouTube of people taking it and they just look insane.
Yeah. Like
I think it's potentially dangerous.
Yeah. I think it's
definitely dangerous.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
I would not recommend it.
I guess we got to do the libertarian thing here of explaining to our conservative listeners why we're talking about drugs on the radio. And, you know, if you think that, like, people...
All drugs should be legal and sold in vending machines.
That's true, but let me get there through steps.
Okay, sorry.
So, yeah. So if you're into small government, you should be into drugs being legal. And if you say, people will take bath salts and they'll hurt people. Yeah, people don't take bath salts when they can get weed.
This is almost universally true.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about crocodile?
Crocodile.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by crocodile, man.
Well, but exactly though. The reason
when
things
can
like
get heroin, they don't take crocodile.
Well, exactly. When things like that's the reason things like crocodile and all these insane
synthetic
drugs
exist. Yeah.
Crocodile. So if people don't know what crocodile is, go on Google right now and Google image search. Okay, don't Google image search. Crocodile. K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L. Oh. Like crocodile with a K.
Yes, do not do so.
It's so basically, here's the story.
It's really scary.
In Russia, you can buy codeine pills over the counter. And people figured out a way to make it into something that's kind of like heroin. But basically, they dissolve the pills in gasoline and then add red phosphorus. And when you shoot this stuff, it gets you high like heroin. But it makes your skin rot off the bone,
right.
And you
so
look
it turns
like
you into a zombie. Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. You know, we interviewed the guy, Brandon Small, who does Death Clock, and I turned him on to crocodile, well, the idea of it, in the interview, and he was just aghast. And I was so happy that I did something that shocked that guy. Yeah.
Meow. Worms.
I wasn't looking at my show clock.
Meow, worms.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
So racist. African drumming is awesome.
Yes, it is.
So I'm listening to LRN.
Turn me on to some of
that. It's like music. Still playing the break. I turned you on to what? Bomb?
No, well, you turned me on to Bomb, but no, Diana said something about African drums and that one. What was that one band you told me about? I can't even remember now.
I told you.
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, South Dia African. Antwerd.
Yes.
Dia Antwerd. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, love those guys.
Pretty. I actually kind of got into it.
Dia Antwerd.
Oh, this is a Dia N-word.
Or it's like Dia Antwerd or something like that. Yes. Anyway, they're from South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome. Funky. I love them so much. They're so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just funny. I thought of that when you said African drums. I'm like, yeah, I heard those. I heard African drums recently. Where did I hear that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they definitely have some African beats in there, too.
Yes, exactly.
You know who used to be in a world beat band? James Babb. He used to play drums.
That's all I've heard.
There's some of it on YouTube. It's pretty festive.
Have y'all heard of Balkan Beatbox? I love those guys.
No, I have not.
Yeah, my dad has. My dad has listened to them. Yeah, my dad's super cool.
Tigger warning. I love that. Tigger warning. Do your Tigger song.
Okay. Jeremy knows it too.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. Their tops are made out of rubber. Their bottoms are made out of springs. They're bouncy, 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 bouncy. Fun, 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 fun. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is that I'm the only one.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But Jeremy wouldn't sing it with me because he's embarrassed.
No. Yes. Well, I was saving the listeners.
I sound pretty bad too. I'm a little stuffed up.
It's better than I could do. I have a decent speaking voice. Singing, not so much.
You have a great singing voice. I mean, speaking voice.
Harp.
Sexy.
Well, I've been told.
Yeah.
The Barry White thing. That's what I keep getting told.
And you're smart. That's all you need to be on the Fiends is a great voice and smart.
Yes.
You both got that.
Yes.
No homo.
Aww, thank you.
No homo. Yeah. Thank you.
No homo, Diana. No, I'm kidding.
Gay. So gay.
It's so gay. You like girls. That is so gay.
That's like so gay of you. So.
You know what? Like the political correctness has got to the point where you can't say certain words, to the point where one of our gay co-hosts was talking on the show yesterday. We have like 15 co-hosts and two of them are gay. And one of the gay guys said,
sounds about right.
Said, well, I made this meme. I made this meme that had the word that rhymes with maggot and starts with F that I can't say. And it was a gay guy and he couldn't say it on the radio for fear of like us losing stations.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Seriously. But we can say gay. We can say gay. Well, I mean, I guess gay can be
the
happy.
Gays. The gays.
Well, the gays. Actually, considering the normal customer base, doesn't that word not offend them? I don't know.
For what?
For the people that normally listen to these stations, doesn't that word not normally offend them? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, it would. Yeah.
Oh, really? I would think it would offend more.
I don't know.
Like,
I think
like a more progressive audience or something.
No,
like that.
No, we don't have a progressive audience. No,
that's what I'm saying.
We're sandwiched between like Rush Limbaugh and guy that's from Levittown.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't think
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity.
I didn't think that word offended that crowd.
No, they correct you when you say gay. They say, you know, like, do you know anyone who's gay? And they're like, no, I do not know any sodomites.
Touché.
Seriously.
Touché.
I actually saw that on a Law
and
Order.
My best friend's
tonight.
A sodomite.
There was a Law and Order tonight where. That could be a show title.
That may have to be.
Some of my best friends are sodomites. And I treat them like real people.
Man. But you know what? I mean, but technically speaking, other sexual acts aside from, normal vanilla intercourse are considered sodomy. So
in Utah, and we're on the radio there right now.
We're all sodomites.
We're all sodomites.
This is true.
Wasn't that a cover of a Time magazine? We're all sodomites now. We're all a bunch of sodomites.
If it wasn't,
been.
It should be.
Yeah. I know.
I really like that meme that's going around of a Bernie Sanders yard sign, and someone's ripped it in half and stolen half of it.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That is so great.
And replaced it with a note that says, I took half your sign because you have one and I have none. I'm sure you'll understand.
Right, yeah.
That's funny.
Socialism is great until it happens in your front yard.
Exactly.
That's funny.
It's pretty to look at until it happens
Sodomites.
To you.
Yeah, I saw this Law and Order tonight. It was like from the 90s, and it was like a gay cop had been killed, and the other cops, they were like, did you know he was gay? And he's like, no, I did not know he was a homosexual. They had to correct it. Yeah. Worms. We'll be back after this trip to the market and the news.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except what, Jeremy?
Governments.
Yeah, we don't need no stinking governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. That's Bravo. What is it? I can't remember all of this.
Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie. I always forget what O is.
Omega? Is it Omega?
Omaha? I don't remember.
Omaha?
I'm horrible. I wasn't in the military. I had to study those to remember it. I used to know it because I did it when we started the using the BIPCOT on the Seeds of Liberty podcast. I used to say it because that's the way Michael did it. So I just picked up and started doing that. But I actually had to study it because the first two times we did like three or four takes because I kept stumbling through it. I'm like, I don't remember these. I was never in the Army. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the few people, I think. You've never been in the military that I even know.
Are you in a military town? You're in a military town, aren't you, Diana?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm surrounded by air bases and naval bases and army bases. Oh my gosh.
Thank you for your service for putting up with that.
I know. Focus on the family.
You know what the government does that's actually useful that's in your town? The Colorado Springs is the home of the national atomic clock. Like, I have an atomic radio clock that syncs up with the clock in your town. And that's how we keep time for radio.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, you know, Nikola Tesla actually had a laboratory here. Did you know that?
He also had one here in Long Island.
Oh, he did? Around. God, he's been everywhere.
He's promiscuous.
Yeah. There was a big deal about that.
He didn't care where he did his science.
That's right.
He'd stick his science in any town.
Yeah.
Such an unknown quantity to the masses, and unfortunately.
So where,
that's why
there's
an Edison, New Jersey, and no Tesla, Colorado, or Tesla, New York.
That's right, man.
But there's supposed to be, I thought there was going to be a museum built that Elon Musk was going to fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, and the guy from the oatmeal.
Yeah, the oatmeal was talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was all excited about it. I think he may have started like a GoFundMe thing or something.
Jim Jesus thinks Tesla's highly overrated.
Oh, he does.
He would.
He would. Jim Jesus is a weirdo. That's why we like him.
Well, you
he
know,
has
I've read
weird
some
opinions.
I've read like some it. Of Tesla's
he's a
writings.
He's a contrarian in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I've read some of Tesla's writings, and he's very melodramatic.
Jim Jesus is an atheist who hates most atheists. That's how contrarian he is.
I'm an atheist who hates most atheists. I can agree with him there.
I love atheists, and I'm a Christian.
I'm a theist, and I think you're all nuts.
I think I'm nuts. I think I'm nuts, too. So
no, I'm not a theist. I'm a deist, which is a form of theism. Diana and I are theists. Yeah, in the same sense that, you know, anybody who's not an anarchist is a statist, even a minarchist. But I'm a deist, which is what Thomas Jefferson was. deists basically believe, it's kind of the agnostics of believers. Basically, it's that you believe that there's a supreme being that created everything, but you believe it has little to no
intervention
on a daily basis and does not answer prayers. And, you know, I think that pretty much everything that happens is a result of the watchmaker theory.
I
pretty much believe that, you know, everything... No, after my daughter died, and I was like, I believed in God, that God answered prayers before that. And then when she died of cancer in 2006, and I was like, you know, had this big consciousness crisis, and like, really, I was at the darkest place ever. And you know what it was? I was at the Fight Club point, because in Fight Club, there's this passing conversation that they have where one of them's taking a bath or something, and it's like, what if God doesn't like you? That's the question. Like, basically, like, you know, the darkest place to be is not having faith and questioning things. And the darkest place to be is not being an atheist or an agnostic. The darkest place to be religiously is believing there's God and he doesn't like you. And that's where I was.
And you felt like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I came out of it, and it was like, I asked this friend of mine, you know, who's kind of a scientist, string theory, math geek chick I used to date, who was actually the only guest at my wife and I's wedding and was also the photographer and the witness. You have to bring your own witness when you get married at a courthouse in California.
Yes.
So,
most places you do it.
So we brought our own witness. So, and it was my ex-girlfriend because we didn't know anybody else. I don't have friends except on the internet and Porkfest. So... She was, you know, I asked her, like, you know, oh, my kid died. What's it mean? And she's like, put her hand on my shoulder and was like, you know, really, it's just all like chaos and math. And I was like, okay, I believe that. And that's like where I've been at since then. You know, it's just chaos and random. and like, you know, whatever you do to change your destiny. And that's why I can't be proud of my nation or my country or my state or my town or my sports team. I can only be proud of like things I've done and things that have been done by people I know. Like, I'm really proud of Virgil Verduga for coming up with Cell 411 and having 20,000 downloads in a week and getting emails from all over the world of people like in South Africa where crime is really high, saying like, you know, the farmers have gotten together with your app and organized like neighborhood defense things. And like,
that's awesome.
Black Lives Matter to like anarcho-capitalists. Like, this thing is uniting everyone in the, we don't need cops. They just show up and shoot you. We'd rather have a preset group of friends show up. You know,
right, exactly.
And that's what Cell 411 does, and everyone should go download it. I've been chatting the guy up. It's licensed BIPCOT. And
I met Virgil a couple of years ago.
He's sexy.
At Liberty Forum. he's married.
Yeah, he's married to a sexy gal too. They're a sexy couple.
Jamie,
man.
Jamie's sweet. Yeah, I love
don't think
Jamie.
I haven't noticed. They're sexy. Yeah. They live in your town, don't they?
No, they live in Ohio. They live in Ohio. Oh,
I thought they lived in Colorado at some point.
No, I don't know. They may have.
I don't know.
But yeah,
Ohio. I mean, get out of Ohio, man. That's what's illegal to have a compartment in your car in Ohio. Do you know that?
Yes, even
it's
even
illegal
empty
to have
one.
A what?
Yeah, yeah,
a what?
Even like even like a speaker cabinet you didn't build. Yeah, it's it's like a thing preventing like, you know, stash boxes being built into cars, but it's so broadly written it could cover even like, you know, speakers that the previous owner put in and then removed and like left a space for.
Okay, this is something that we should have. This just occurred to me. Stupid things being illegal. Have you guys heard about the whole the BDSM thing being unconstitutional?
And I saw that. And I was like, man,
I didn't.
Of course it is. Of course they said it.
Yeah.
I missed that. What?
Well, it wasn't like the Supreme Court. It was like a federal level judge in some district.
At New York, I think.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is funny, because, you know, I've always thought that was like 10 years ago. I've always kind of been into kink. I've been, you know, into a little slap and tickle, as they say. And I actually met my wife on a website called bondage.com. I'll just come out and say it. And, you know.
Okay, here it is. I found it. It's a federal court rules. You have no constitutional right to engage in 100% consensual rough sex.
And here's the thing. Oh, like, you it's illegal
no
in England.
Constitutional
it's,
right.
It's illegal in England to have sex that leaves marks, even if it's consensual.
Even if it's consensual.
And you know what? In Wyoming, it's illegal. It's literally, they passed a law. It's illegal in Wyoming to choke your wife. And it doesn't say what, you know, anything about against her will, you know, so like,
just
if,
that you can't at all.
Right, right. So,
oh my.
Yeah, I just sent you guys the article.
If
I'm committing three felonies a day. No,
I'm committing more than that. If, I mean,
we pretty much all break laws all the time.
If that doesn't scream, the entire system violates the self-ownership of every individual underneath it to people, I don't know what will. Like, right there, that right alone, that is not a... I mean, for even even the constitutionalists that believe the ridiculous rhetoric, like, you don't have a constitutional right to do that. Okay.
Right.
Well, the thing... Yeah, go ahead, Diana.
This was in Virginia, actually. It was the Doe versus George Mason University et al.
You know what Doe is, right?
Yeah, it's
Roe versus
anonymous
it's
anonymous,
a male.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Doe. Yeah. I think Doe is female and Roe is Roe is female. Doe's male, right?
Or
is
it was like plaintiff? Yeah, John Doe. No, because John.
Right,
Doe,
John Doe. So okay, yeah.
Yeah, the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia released its decision in the case of Doe versus George Mason University et al. And for some reason, they felt compelled to weigh in on whether there is a constitutional right to engage in consensual BDSM sex. And their answer is no. Really? Okay.
No.
Well, in Virginia, that makes sense because that's the place that I think that wasn't that the last state.
Yeah, but that's a federal
actually,
court.
Slavery.
Yes. Yeah, but still, they
is it a slavery thing?
No, I was. They were like the last state to one of the last states to drop the sodomy laws. I think.
Did you know that Wyoming was the first state to give women the vote?
No.
It's like 100 years ago. They did it. They did
it. Thank you so much for giving me the right to vote. I will be exercising my right to not vote.
Yeah, they did it. They did it so some of them would move here, literally.
Did it work?
I don't know.
Was there a big suffrage movement in Wyoming?
I don't know, but there were just a bunch of men here for a long time. And sheep. And the sheep were scared.
Isn't that kind of still the way it is, except for DJ?
Well,
I mean, come on.
The last mass shooting in Wyoming was 100 years ago, and it was over sheep.
Hmm.
Yeah. Was it
everyone's armed? You know, there's a what?
I said, what? Was it a lover's quarrel?
I thought you said was it a ground squirrel?
No.
You know, there's a bumper sticker that's pretty common in Wyoming that says, "Welcome to Wyoming. Consider everyone armed."
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah. That definitely has its perks.
Yeah.
Perks. I'm
but
perky.
there's some sheriff in Florida now saying that he will point a gun at you if he knows that you're exercising your right to open carry.
Spectacular.
Wow. Yeah.
Most of New York State would do that. It's not legal to open carry there, is it?
No.
It's barely legal to have a gun there.
Well, in the city, it's almost impossible. You pretty much have to be a celebrity to be able to get a concealed carry.
Yeah.
Of course, the elite would be able to own weapons and carry
weapons. That's pretty much it. Out here,
Robert
in New York,
De Niro has a carry permit. And he's against guns being legal.
Well, of course he does. But I mean, whatchamacallit, the Anthony Acumia from Open Anthony used to talk about it. Like, he finally got one, but he had to like pay like a buttload of money.
I just had to pay $70 and now you don't need them anymore in this state.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the easy app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
We're on.
Yeah, I should find that song so you guys can like know what I mean by
the Booga Digga beat.
Vagrant vampires. Yeah.
The show clock does not work on my phone. My neck is gonna hurt tomorrow. Now,
why you been headbanging?
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, me too. A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that one of the songs that's available through the torrents? Because I don't think you have all your stuff on there, do you?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, because I have all the torrents.
Actually, I think that's available from the Bomb website, which is michaelwdean.com/bomb.
I'll have to go up there.
I'll put that in the show notes.
There you go.
Played at CBGB's.
More than once. Yep.
I'm so impressed. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the bomb has to be capital letters. So it's michaelwdean.com small and then B-O-M-B big.
Gotcha.
So it's case capital sensitive.
Letters. Yeah, it is for some reason. That's weird. Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes.
I like how you said that, Diana. You're so impressed. Like, beforehand, you weren't. Like, beforehand, Michael's music meant nothing.
Oh, no.
I'm so impressed.
No. I mean, I've been super. I have to admit.
You saw it in a movie.
If I had, no, it's, well, it's not even so much that. I mean, I've known about CBGBs, like, since the 70s, but,
it's,
I mean,
it's a good place to get mugged. Isn't it crappy? Isn't the Bowery, man? You've been there, right, yeah. Jerry?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I mean, I've been super impressed by Michael, like, the whole time. I mean, you know, he's done cool stuff. Thanks. So
I am pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
I'm pretty cool, and you know,
you're like the only punk rock
what's
star
that?
I know. I said you're like the only punk rock star I know.
Yeah, sort of. I did that interview the other day, and we talked about Bomb a little bit. But
I still need to listen to that.
But I didn't really say what I wanted to say about you guys, which was. And us as a unit, I kind of feel like the Freedom Fiends are an extension of the band Bomb. I feel like the Freedom Fiends are a well-oiled punk rock band that's like really good musicians, but like so good that we can be like drunk and play really well at a house party, you know, while we're falling over each other in a big sex pile.
I want that on my tombstone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And we're back. Meow.
Oh no, he just ran off to go play with his Chrome robot.
Yeah. He's totally excited about that.
And he's probably going to be sending stuff to all of us all night long.
With Octocore.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. It just sounds really cool. Octocore. It's like a villain on a Gotham or something.
There you go.
But anyway, so we actually had a topic to talk about. We had several topics, but one in particular is this whole Erin Andrews trial that's been going on. And for those of you who don't know who she is, Erin Andrews, I don't think she works for ESPN anymore. I know that she's a host on Dancing with the Stars now, for sure. But at one point, she was working as a sportscaster for ESPN. My daughter admired her so much. My daughter at one point wanted to be a sportscaster. And Erin Andrews is pretty, but she's into sport. So she's super cool, you know, kind of thing. But this guy, his name's, I think, Michael Barrett. I think that's his name. I know his last name's Barrett. Mm-hmm. Had been stalking her and ended up getting a room next to her at a Marriott in Nashville, Tennessee. The way he did it is he played it. Like, he figured out how he would be able to, you know, find out what room she was in and asked to be, you know, placed in that room. He didn't say, I want to be in a room next to Erin Andrews, but he said, oh, I like that room. Can I have that room? And what he ended up doing was, you know, figuring out, you know, if, you know, when she was there, when she wasn't. And at one point she was in the shower and he, while she was in the shower, and he must have like been practicing doing this, but he did something to her peephole where he could view her through the peephole from the outside. And I guess what blows me away is you know, in addition to everything else about this, is how he was able to do that with no one seeing, you know, hotel staff walking by or anything like that. But, you know, she filed a lawsuit, and this guy spent some time in prison. I'm not sure, like 30 something months or something like that. Is that how long?
I think that's right.
Yeah, but she filed a civil suit against him as well as the hotel chain, and ended up winning $55 million. the guy, Barrett, is responsible for 51% of that, and the hotel chain is responsible for 49%. And we both know that she'll probably end up only with the 49% unless they appeal and get the numbers down some. But so we were talking off air about it, and I feel like, you know, her suing the hotel is perfectly legitimate. I think that, you know, there were a lot of things that they could have done to prevent it. And I think that this will be an incentive for them to put things in place to prevent things like this, you know, to protect their guests' privacy, because they really failed at that with her. And, you know, the fact, you know, if it was just a mere, you know, peeping Tom type situation where he looked at her, that would be one thing. But the thing is that he filmed it, put it on the internet. I think you could probably, I haven't searched for it or anything, but I think you could probably still go out there and see it somewhere. Well, so she's going to be dealing with this for, you know, years at least, you know, she already has been. And, you know, so.
Well, yeah, because the original, was it the incident or the original trial was in 2009 or the, I can't remember, the incident was back in 2009, right?
Yeah, you and I were both saying, oh God, we thought it was only like 3 to 5 years ago, but it's been 7 years.
Almost 7 years. Well, just one thing I was going to say, I did find, I think he only did 20 months.
20 months? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, I mean, yeah, we had talked about this previously. I mean, I understand the needing to blame somebody, aside from obviously the person, the guy who did this. I mean, this guy was obviously a creep. I mean, I think it was reported that he admitted to actually stalking her in two other separate incidents that he hadn't called for originally.
He had done it before, yeah.
Yeah, and when this all came about, there was also accusations from 14 other women against him from doing the same thing, because he was an insurance salesman or something of some sort,
and
he traveled around a lot. So exactly.
Gross.
So I mean, I have no problem with him being punished for these. I mean, it was definitely creepy. It was definitely messed up. It was, you know, obviously the guy has issues. And the problem, I mean, like you said, they're not going to get the money from him. And that's where I begin to have an issue. Like, yes.
I
have a hard time with, I mean, look at the split. What'd you say? It's what, 51-49 basically is the split. So essentially there's the jury, whatever, they're essentially saying that the hotel chain itself is just as morally culpable as the guy who took the action. And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I have no problem with assigning some moral culpability, but it should go to the employees who made this happen, because the whole thing, I mean, I think like you said, the whole problem was he basically called up and asked if she was staying there, and somebody's like, oh yeah, she's here, which most places, I think there was one article I came across that was obviously very pointed against the hotel chain and everything else. I lost that article. I don't know where it went, but their whole point was there was 7 words that could have changed this whole thing. And basically it was something along the lines of, I'm sorry, I cannot give you that information. And if the person had just said that, none of this would have happened, basically, is what they were saying. So, yes, if there's not a protocol in place, then yes, obviously, if that hotel chain did not have a protocol in place, then I see them being totally, a lot more culpable. But I have a hard time seeing that, because it was a Marriott, right? So it's a relatively big chain, which was owned by an even two bigger, bigger companies on top of that, which they originally tried to sue all the way up the line. And I think the judge threw out the top one originally.
I remember, but just in my experience, if I'm trying to reach someone at a hotel, I can basically say, you know, I'm trying to reach so-and-so at this hotel, and they'll connect me with them. And what he did and how he found out what room she was in is that he called from the house phone there at the hotel.
And he could
see her room number on there. He figured out how he could do all this stuff for sure. But it's just like, I mean, when you say, was there a protocol in place? I haven't been able to find anything that said hotel had an actual protocol.
Well, yeah, and that's the other problem. And like I said, when we originally talked about this, when I originally brought the story up, and we both started looking into it, and, you know, we said we were going to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like in the mindset of I was kind of really appalled. About the numbers that were getting thrown at the because, like I said, to me it just seems like half and half culpability. But the more you look into it, though, unfortunately, because I was trying to find the employees' names of who actually committed these, who did these stupid acts.
And you can't find them.
Everything I found all said the employees, you know, as multiple, and it never spoke. So if they ended up protecting those employees and not firing them, well, then that's on them. Oh. And then then I could understand there being a lot more culpability going their way.
One of the multiple articles that we've read, or that I've read at least, there was one where the hotel was defending their employees.
I didn't see that. One, but that would like I said, that would kind of skew me a little more towards But again, I was just gonna say, because I had said this to you too. Like my biggest problem, and the reason my like spidey senses kind of went up immediately was the one quote by her. And where is it now? I've lost it.
Oh yeah, it was the original article that you sent. It was
There's a quote by her. She says,
"I've been honored by all the support from victims around the world. Their outreach has helped me be able to stand up and hold accountable those whose job it is to protect everyone's safety, security, and privacy."
And
your thought was that she got support from other victims, and that you think that maybe they encouraged her to kind of
up the line, because I'm not doubting that she has a lot amount of mental trauma from this. I'm not gonna deny that, because that, I mean, first of all, it's a completely subjective thing. Everybody takes stuff differently, you know, like, so I'm not gonna, that I have no problem with her needing to try to feel whole in some sense, because she was violated. Like, I don't have a problem with that. It's just when the numbers are this high, it's like, how do you put a number on these things? Because it's so ridiculously subjective. The fact that she asked for $75 million originally, which is like, just because, I mean, that's what they... And when people do that, it just kind of always bugs me, because it's like, yes, I know that's what your lawyers push you to do, because that's the whole idea. Mm-hmm. You shoot high, and you shoot higher than you expect to get. That way, when you get the lower number, you're actually satisfied, type of deal. I get that.
And I think the hotel, and I don't remember which article I read this in, but the hotel, they had an opportunity to settle with her, too, and they didn't. So.
Well, because they were banking on the fact that the person... The Barrett guy should be solely responsible, because he's the one who took the action.
Well, of course, they're going to fight that, because it messes with their reputation too. I mean,
here's the thing though. I think they could have handled it completely differently and still try to save their reputation. Why not fire the employees involved?
Mm-hmm. Call them out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If there still needs to be some kind of settlement of some kind or whatever, it would probably be you may be able to be looking at less, because you actually took this, you know, this measure and said, okay, yes, they're gone. They're just like, we're not going to back them up at all. Like, I think that's kind of that was a gamble on their part. So, you know, I guess maybe they'd like I said, the more and more we talk about this now, I'm like, you know what? They deserve to lose money. They're idiots.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my point. It's like, you know, they had no security cameras. And I'm not saying I think there should be security cameras everywhere. I don't think that, I mean, a private business, I think they're well within their rights to do that. In my opinion, I mean, I don't agree with, you know, the government having security cameras set up everywhere.
Sure.
But a private business having security cameras set up in order to protect their guests, you know, I think, you know, that they're well within their rights to do that. There's no security cameras on any of the guest floors in that particular hotel. I think they only had one security guard, and I have no idea the size of the hotel, but they only had one security guard there. And one of the multiple articles that we've been looking at, that the one of the executives or like maybe the manager of that hotel was, you know, he was really proud of their security record, you know, that Marriott International had come out and had, you know, approved them or whatever, said that they got 100% on their whatever it was. But sounds like we're going to break now. I'm hearing music.
We'll finish that up in a little bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelps from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
What about cheese?
Too busy talking to do the talk radio.
So Jeremy pretty much just likes American. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I'm boring.
Like the crap.
Not even
American
real cheese. American cheese.
Cheese
fake
food.
Processed.
American cheese food.
I just don't like the super. I just like the, don't like the super stinky ones. It's not, yeah, not my thing. I don't know.
I like yeah, cheese. Period. Stinky. I'll even eat American cheese on a grill. I like making a grilled cheese with American cheese.
Well, yeah,
it's kind of
what those are for.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese and stuff like that.
God, when I was a little girl, I would sit there and eat those the Kraft American cheese that came in the that were wrapped. I mean, I would just sit there and eat that stuff.
See, I did that a little bit when I was a kid, and that's the reason I can't eat it anymore.
I know,
like,
me
that
either.
Waxy texture, like, and
yeah,
my,
I know.
One of my sisters, the youngest one, actually still loves that stuff, and I'm like, how can you eat that? Like, she would prefer that over, like, I've actually stopped when I went paleo a couple of years ago. I cut out dairy, and I've since returned to only raw stuff, but I haven't got around to getting any, like, raw cheese or anything. So I haven't, I really haven't had cheese for the most part.
Well, when I was a kid, I was fooled into thinking that Tang was orange juice.
that's like what happened in the ghetto. It's OJ. It's OJ. What are you talking about?
I know exactly. Pretty much.
Well, I had that happen. That's my dad would get like the generic cereals and be like, you know, Cheerios would just be like O's and be like, what, dad? What the heck is this? He's like, it's the same damn thing. It's
yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. Eat your OJ.
Generic. No, it just tastes different. Generic. I don't know why. It just does.
Yeah. Well, of course it does, because it's not this. It's not the same exact formula.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing. It's one thing for like generic drugs that are essentially like you can get the formula. You know, you're not going for taste. You're going for quantity of ingredients. So you can nail it. But when you're going for anything with taste, it's kind of hard to nail it down if you don't have the exact process and the exact ingredients and, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, really good cooks, good chefs can mask a lot of stuff and do wonders. But, you know, in mass production like that, I really don't think it's happening.
No.
They're just going for close enough, you know. It's kind of like the Hydrox cookies. They're almost Oreos, but not quite. Oreos. There's just that weird, like, they have, like, like most generic things, they have that, like, that weird aftertaste that usually kicks in, like, 3 or 4 seconds after you think it would, which makes it even odder. And it's like, because you're like, oh, this is not so bad. It's kind of like an Oreo.
Yeah.
No.
That makes me think of a Family Guy episode where it's like, you know, I don't know if you ever watch Family Guy or if you ever have.
I used to watch it a lot. I love that. Yeah, I used to love it.
They'll have these like little things and, you know, in the middle, you know, where, you know, he's
the cut
there was this one where Peter was, you know, trying to get his kid to eat like some like generic Frosted Flakes, and it's like, you know, it's, you know, Terry the tiger, and it's just like Terry saying their food instead of their great their food.
It's the same thing. I get it, because like I said, you know, I had that happen when I was younger too. So.
Yeah, Tang.
Yeah, the Tang is orange juice. Is just funny though.
And then I remember drinking actual orange juice, and just the flavor is just like, I mean, I to this day I love orange juice, and I know it's not the best thing in the world for you because it's, I mean, it's juice, you know, and just juice is full of sugar.
Well, I mean, I squeeze my own. If I have orange juice, get orange juice and I just squeeze, which is still not in great quantities. I mean, fruit, you know, is high in sugar, so it's not actually that great for you. In high quantities, vegetables are obviously much better. But it's funny you said that because, you know, it's obviously all about taste buds, because I was like, I had my kids here today, and I got a food delivery because
kids are so cute, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
They are so cute. Oh my gosh.
My bip tots.
Your bip tots, yeah.
but I got a food delivery, and I get my raw dairy and my grass fed meats from this place upstate, and they drive it down to my house once a week if I want it. Like, I usually order once every 2 weeks or whatever, but it's great.
That's so cool.
And I mean, it's, you know, it's a little pricey, but whatever. But I ordered milk this time. Of raw milk, you know, every once in a while I treat myself because it's $10 a gallon.
Yeah.
And they were excited to try it. And as soon as they tasted it, they were like, oh, this is, they're like, Daddy, we don't like this. And I had forgotten. I've never given them anything other than almond milk. I've made them almond milk since they were little because they had milk problems.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm like, this is delicious. And they're like, this is disgusting.
But, well, that was a great show.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's always good when Michael stops by.
and our redemption was talking about cheese
and milk.
Stuff. Cheese and milk.
Dairy.
And Tang as orange juice.
All right.
Well, thank you for your service, Jeremy.
Thank you for your warmness.
Your warmness. Your warmth.